Well, this just in. The weed killer glyphosate, which often travels by the trade name Roundup, has been found in Cheerios, Wheaties, Trix, Corn Flakes, Cashy, Cheez-Its, Ritz, Triscuits, Oreos, Doritos, Fritos, Goldfish, Whole Food 365 crackers, Back to Nature crackers, and more. And so we ask, is food that contains the weed killer glyphosate safe to eat?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Show with your host, Michael Olson. Now, get ready for an hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Well, hello out there. You are tuned into the 1,081st edition of the Food Chain right here on the GCN Radio Network. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends way up there in Findhorn who are tuned in as we stream along in the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio with engineer Jason Strubia on the boards. Hello, Jason.
Always a pleasure.
So, quick question, Jason.
Yes.
Do you think food that contains the weed killer glyphosate is safe to eat?
I'm no doctor, but I don't think it sounds safe.
It doesn't sound safe. Folks, this just in. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration has announced that it is suspending the testing of its food for the weed killer glyphosate, which goes by the trade name Roundup. This also just in. Food and Democracy Now! And the Detox Project have published the results of independent tests that found alarming levels of glyphosate in Cheerios, Wheaties, Trix, Corn Flakes, Cashy, Cheez-Its, Ritz, Triscuits, Oreos, Doritos, Fritos, Goldfish, Whole Foods 365, crackers, and Back to Nature crackers. Wow. Both news items follow that of the Environmental Protection Agency's suspension of hearings last month into glyphosate's possible link to cancer in humans, which follows last year's classification of glyphosate as a Class 2A probable human carcinogen by the World Health Organization's Agency for Research on Cancer. That the Food and Drug Administration has suspended its testing of foods for glyphosate, that independent tests have found alarming levels of glyphosate in a broad spectrum of popular foods, that the EPA has suspended its hearings into glyphosate's possible link to cancer, that the World Health Organization has classified glyphosate as a probable human carcinogen, and that Bayer AG is trying to buy Monsanto for $66 billion, lead us to ask, is food that contains the weed killer glyphosate safe to eat? Well, here we go, folks. We have with us to help us out figure out this question today, Dave Murphy, founder and executive director of Food Democracy Now. Dave, thanks for tuning in today.
Hi, Michael Wilson. Thanks for having me on. It's a pleasure, honor to be on your show. I've gotten your emails for years, and I've always followed you closely. So this is exciting news we got here.
Well, I'm so happy to have you aboard. So tell folks about Food Democracy Now.
Sure. Well, Food Democracy Now, we're a grassroots group based in Iowa. We have about 650,000 members, farmers and citizens all around across the country and in some cases around the world. And we're really dedicated to educating people about healthy and organic food and also trying to transform America's food and world food policy to benefit, you know, family farmers, consumers, and the environment. We think, we're based in Iowa, so that's like the belly of the beast of industrial agriculture. And we have seen firsthand for years kind of the trick that the biotech lobby and the factory farm lobby uses to basically rig the rules of our democracy against the American people. And, you know, that's why we started. And, you know, we're talking about the safety of glyphosate. And the reason we really focus on glyphosate is, one, it's the main chemical weed killer that's sprayed in Iowa. Yeah.
You and the Detox Project came out with a report, kind of illuminating the independent research conducted onto glyphosate in foods, but also kind of giving an overall viewpoint of glyphosate use. The single most striking thing I think I saw, the illustration in your report, was a comparison of before and after GMOs and after GMOs in the United States, and you could see the use of the glyphosate in the United States before GMOs and after. And the thing that just knocked me over was the illustration of the use in the heartland of America. It just floored me, the extent to which glyphosate is part of our heartland now.
Yeah, listen, Michael, you're absolutely right. We included those charts, and I'll admit I have studied this field and Roundup and GMOs for 10 years. And to do a side-by-side comparison of these maps, we got the maps from the U.S. Geological Survey. And what they show in, we do one from 1992, which is 4 years before the adoption of Monsanto's Roundup Ready GMO crops, you know, genetically engineered corn and soybeans that were genetically engineered to survive being sprayed with massive amounts of Roundup, which is a weed killer. And the interesting thing is today, you know, basically it's exploded. You know, there's over 300 million pounds that are used annually for farm and agricultural use. And basically the Midwest is blanketed, drenched in Roundup. And the interesting thing about the U.S. Geological Survey, they found, they tested rainwater samples across the Midwest. And I think it was in Iowa, Mississippi, and Illinois. And they found glyphosate residue or glyphosate sample in 75% of the rainwater samples that they tested.
75% of the rainwater tested had glyphosate in it?
Yeah, and the rivers and streams, yeah, 75%. So basically that means that when a farmer sprays it on his field, it doesn't stay in the field or on the plant. It evaporates into the air, and then it blows down wind and rains down on a community maybe dozens or hundreds of miles away. So that's part of the big problem. There's a huge ecosystem exposure to glyphosate that really scientists, I think, when they looked at it in the 1970s and 80s, the safety assessments, they never imagined that it could be so widely used and so pervasive in the human environment. And now, unfortunately, on our food.
Well, yeah, the federal government has suspended its testing of food for glyphosate. Why did you, Food Democracy Now! And the Detox Project, commission a study to look into glyphosate in food? Why did you do that?
You know, listen, I'm from Iowa, so this is the most widely used chemical in our state. Farmers, you know, spray Roundup on their field. Like 97% of the soybeans grown in Iowa are genetically engineered to survive being sprayed with Roundup, and 94% of the corn. So basically our whole state is blanketed with Roundup. And you know, unfortunately, according to the CDC, Iowa has some of the highest rates of cancer in the Midwest. The more and more I learned about how glyphosate, and I've known about glyphosate for over 20 years. It's, you know, when it's like being in Texas and not knowing about the oil industry. You know, I mean, it's something you're familiar with. And the more I started reading the independent scientific research that's been coming out, and this started, you know, the concern over glyphosate started not in 2010 or 2012, but, you know, there's scientists like Dr. Huber, and there's another, Bob Kremer, who used to be at the USDA, that have shown that glyphosate is harmful to beneficial microorganisms in the soil. What it does is not only... You have to understand, glyphosate has three patents, so it has three.
Oh, good. Let's start there. Let's start with the first patent, because it's an interesting transition. Once you get to understand the patents, you really get to see what's in here. So the first patent, as I understand it, was for a drain cleaner.
Yeah, I mean, so exactly. So just real quickly, Monsanto has there's three patents on glyphosate and what that chemical does. And so how it interacts with the environment and in human health. So, like you said, the first patent was in 1964. Stouffer Chemical Company, based in Westport, Connecticut, got a patent to remove mineral deposits from metal pipes, like Drano. So that was how originally the chemical equation of glyphosate came to the market. Maybe it didn't perform as well as Drano, but interestingly, a few years later, somehow Monsanto discovered that it had very good weed-killing properties. And so they patented it in the 60s and brought it to the market in 1974. And so, they only looked at it as a weed killer. They never considered the fact that as a mineral chelator, it could chelate, you know, minerals out of the soil or the food. but they hadn't yet genetically engineered crops.
So the second patent was for it as a weed killer?
Yeah, as a weed killer. Yeah.
Okay. So it kills weeds. They had some extra glyphosate that they were using to try to clean the drains, and it didn't work, so they threw it out the backyard, and it killed all the weeds. And they said,
absolutely.
Wow, look at this. And the third patent was for?
Well, the third patent was in 2010. It's an antimicrobial. Basically, what it
like
does,
an antibiotic. You
know, exactly like an antibiotic. So in their patent,
holy smokes.
But then it will kill certain protozoa parasites. But interestingly, they list in that patent a number of, what can be considered beneficial microorganisms in the soil and beneficial microorganisms.
Okay, you got to hold that thought. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to find how much glyphosate is in the Cheerios. Why did it get in Cheerios? And, oh my God, I had oatmeal for breakfast. Do stay tuned right back.
MetroFarm.com says we can earn a 5-, 6-, or 7-figure income by farming a small parcel of land in or near the city.
And we don't even have to own the land. We can lease it year to year.
MetroFarm.com says we can grow fruit on prairie bench lands, houseplants in coastal valleys, vegetables in city greenbelts, and ornamentals in neighborhoods of fancy homes.
We can even grow flowers on our wooded hillside.
Get all the information you need to grow for profit at MetroFarm.com, including the complete guide to earning 5-, 6-, and 7-figure incomes by farming small parcels of land. Meet the farmers who earn the money. Find experts at MetroFarm.com who will examine your property and assess which crops to grow. Meet consultants who will help steer your project to profitability. And get the latest news about the business of growing high-value specialty crops for the city at MetroFarm.com.
We've always dreamed about farming a small parcel of land. At MetroFarm.com, we can get all the help we need to stop dreaming and...
Well, folks, we've already learned that there are three patents on glyphosate, one for its ability to clean pipes. It's a chelator. It picks up minerals and grabs them and drains them out of pipes like Drano. The other is that it kills weeds and kills them dead. And the third is that it is an antimicrobial, which is an antibiotic. It kills organisms in the soil and wherever they find them. Wow. So that's a pretty powerful substance, one would have to think. So, and the other thing we've learned is that we use a lot more of it now that we have genetically modified crops that have been re-engineered to withstand glyphosate. 300 million pounds a year on the heartland and throughout the United States. You take a look at the pictures in glyphosate, unsafe at any plate, you'll see this incredible illustration of the use before and after glyphosate, and you go, oh my goodness. So, the good folks at Democracy Now! And at the Detox Project commissioned a study. They looked into our food, and they found glyphosate in a lot of things. Did you test anything that did not have glyphosate in it, Dave?
There were a few products that didn't have any detectable levels, but practically everything we tested had it. You know what I mean? And so we kind of looked at the food system, and we said, what are the most popular brands that people kind of eat, and where could it possibly be found? And we just picked we just picked a bunch of categories that people would commonly eat as snacks and tested them. And, this testing is not cheap. And so we had to test a limited number of products, and the first round we chose to go with was, what would be considered snack foods, and then cereals, because, most people start their day with a bowl of cereal or some kind of healthy,
If you know your oats, you too will go for the toasted oat goodness of Cheerios. Or would we?
Well, I would just say, listen, after finding these results, they're absolutely shocking. Interestingly, the Cheerios have the highest levels of glyphosate, and it's at 1,125.3 parts per billion.
1,125. Now, I understand that the EU, the rate at which they allow glyphosate in water is 1/10 of one part per billion.
Yeah, well, here, the level of, in the EU, it's, in the U.S., the level is 700 parts per billion. It's significantly lower in the EU. It's part, yeah, you're right, it's part one part per billion.
One-tenth of a one part.
Yeah, 0.1.
Yeah.
Yes, part, it's not, and that's not even one part per billion, you're right, it's one-tenth. And so, you know, in the U.S., we kind of allow what is...
And wait a minute, and Cheerios has... 1,125.3 parts per billion.
Yes, it's literally off the charts. It was so high.
So that's maybe like what? That's maybe Cheerios has 10,000 times more glyphosate in it than is allowed in European drinking water.
Yes, than what will be permitted in the U.S. I'm sorry, in European drinking water. You know, and the interesting thing is that in 2014, General Mills removed Cheerios. I mean, removed, GMOs from Cheerios.
Right.
There was an activist campaign, Food Democracy Now, I think GMO Inside and some others. We asked General Mills to remove Cheerios. I mean, remove GMOs from Cheerios. They did. And surprisingly, they have the highest level. And that's because the reason is Roundup is not just sprayed on GMO crops. It's also used on... over 70 other food crops, and they use it as a pre-harvest drying agent. So they spray it on oats. They spray it on oats, wheat, and barley to while it's still in the field to dry it out faster, and then they get it to market faster. So it's considered a pre-harvest drying agent, but the problem is because of the way glyphosate works, it binds with the plant's cell structure, and then it can't be washed off. Or sprayed off. It binds into the...
So it's kind of infused, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's deeply attached to that plant and that crop, and then it's going to be deeply attached or absorbed into our food. And that's the shocking thing. And so one of the things we're calling the U.S. government is to, and these companies, is to end the practice of accepting pre-harvest spraying crops for human food, mm-hmm. at least for human food consumption.
Well, you know, when I put the newsletter out regarding this show, I got a feedback from one of the food chains, good friends Kyle in Kansas, who said it doesn't make any sense that this level of glyphosate would be found in crops not used, is not sprayed, typically sprayed, with they're not GMOs. So why would oats, why would Cheerios have... glyphosate in it. So I asked Anthony Samsell, with whom we worked a couple of weeks ago, and he said that there are several routes that glyphosate gets into the crops. One of them is through the root absorption from pre-planting as well as weed control. So you spray it on to kill weeds, and there it is. And Samso says that Monsanto's papers reveal that the company has found residues in olives, grapes, tea, and coffee, just about everything. And the next thing is with respect to desiccation, which is against the law, as I understand it, in some states. Some crops are desiccated prior to harvest, but most get glyphosate residue from the process of staging, which is to say farmers like to spray glyphosate to kill weeds prior to planting the next crop by going into the field just before a crop harvested and spraying with glyphosate to burn down the weeds. It's a step-saver process, actually staging weed control before instead of waiting till after the crop is harvested. And this way they can say they weren't using it as a desiccant. And finally, of course, it's sprayed on genetically engineered crops. So this, it seems like everybody's using it.
Well, listen, you know, the way that these levels in glyphosate were not, and Cheerios, were not due to staging. They're due to the fact that they're spraying glyphosate on these crops.
As a desiccant?
For harvest. As a desiccant.
As a desiccant, okay.
It's called pre-harvest spraying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they do that to dry the crop out. And then it's because of the way glyphosate works, it's absorbed directly into the plant. They take it to the facility, process it, and put it in your oatmeal or your Cheerios. And there's no process by which they remove this glyphosate levels. So, you know, I'll just say the levels that we found in Cheerios, we did a very detailed analysis of all the latest emerging science that's out there. And the levels that we found in Cheerios would not be considered safe if you're using results from the latest peer-reviewed studies out there.
Mm-hmm. Now, you make note of, before we go there, you make, I had oatmeal for breakfast. Are you telling me that my oatmeal has this stuff in it, too?
Unless it's organic, it very well likely does have it. No companies aren't required to list pesticide residues on their labels. No one has any idea. This is so really. We did the first independent, FDA certified lab testing of this chemical widespread, and these are the results. And as you mentioned earlier, the FDA was supposed to have a pilot program where they were going to test widely in our food supply. And they really didn't test that many products. And I think the only reason that people know about it in the United States is because, fortunately, Carrie Gillum, who's a former Reuters journalist, and she now works for U.S. Right to Know, which is a nonprofit advocacy group for consumer safety, she has, kind of bird-dogged the EPA and the FDA, and that's how, she found out about the testing project. But then she kind of got some of the test results back. But like you said, the Obama administration shut down the FDA's pilot program to test for residue levels just a week before the election, which, I find that very shocking that this is the first time the federal government actually looked into glyphosate residues. And
maybe they didn't like what they see. You talk a lot about, Dave, you talk a lot about the difference between the old science and the new science. And I'd like to pick that up mm-hmm. when we get back and have you define the difference for them. Michael Olson here. This is the Food Chain Radio Program. Today we're talking with Dave Murphy, founder and executive director of Food Democracy Now, about the weed killer in the food we eat. Oh me, oh my, oh me, oh my, and we're eating a lot of it. Right back. Well, ladies and gentlemen, get these numbers. The European Union allows 1/10 of a part per billion of glyphosate in the drinking water. 1/10. The U.S. allows 700 parts per billion of glyphosate in the drinking water. Cheerios has 1,125 parts per 0.3 parts per billion of glyphosate in the toasted oat goodness of Cheerios. Wow. Could think about it. Just that's almost three times the allowable level in U.S. drinking water, and 1,000 times more than what is allowed in the European Union drinking water. So is that box of Cheerios safe to eat? And it's not just Cheerios, of course. It's everything else, it seems. My goodness, a whole list of popular American packaged foods. How does that stuff get into our foods? Is it safe? So, my goodness, it's a pretty awesome feat when you picked up this. There seems to be two sciences here. One, the old science that said glyphosate is okay, it won't harm us. It just dissipates in our stomach and goes away, and that way that's okay. And that would be the science offered us from the Monsanto company who patented glyphosate and spread its use throughout the world, especially with its genetically modified crops. But there are others now who are coming out with new science. And I would guess you would have a whole list of them, would you not, Dave?
Yeah, the report, it's a 29-page report, and we list, it has over 114 footnotes, and we list all the latest research and latest studies that have kind of shown harm. Dozens of these studies that have shown harm. And, obviously, this is the game that Monsanto wants to play. This is like the tobacco science playbook that the tobacco industry ran against the American public for 40 years, where there was known possible harms and likely harms from tobacco and the additives to cigarettes, and the tobacco industry covered up. And so this is exactly what Monsanto has been doing for decades. Whenever anyone shows possible harm to any other product, they're like the mafia. They attack that person's credibility. And if they're a scientist at a public university, they try to get them fired or try to get their grant shut down. And the interesting thing is, you know, I did a year and a half long analysis or review of a lot of the original documents, most original documents that the EPA considered during the approval process, some of the original studies that they submitted. And then we also looked at some of the reviews that the European Union did. And I'll just say, it's very clear when Monsanto submitted the safety assessments in the 1970s and the 1980s, that the EPA, Environmental Protection Agency, the scientists actually did at the EPA in the 1980s, they listed glyphosate as a probable carcinogen, just like IARC did.
Oh, really? Way back in the 1980s?
Yeah, they did, based on a couple studies on mice. And the interesting thing is, Monsanto went back and forth over a course of over a two-year period, and they disagreed with these scientists. They disagreed with the EPA. They kept having meetings, and they kept funneling them more like what we call corporate-sponsored studies, Monsanto corporate-paid-for studies, until eventually they wore them down and they showed enough evidence that kind of confused the issue. So.
Okay, but you know, that brings up an interesting point. When I opened the show, I asked for who pays your way at your organization, the Food Democracy Now. Who pays, and we know who pays for Monsanto's studies, of course, but who pays for all of these other studies for the new science that you're coming up with?
Well, these are independent peer-reviewed studies. In some cases, they do get research grants from the university that they're at, or they try to, you know, they're not industry-sponsored studies. So I want to go back to this research that they submitted.
Okay.
And the reason these levels of concern, the levels of glyphosate found in Cheerios and other food products are alarming and concerning is because when Monsanto was submitting these documents, they did not know about endocrine disruption. They did not know. There was the science of how low levels and ultra-low levels can cause harm to human health did not even exist when the EPA first approved glyphosate. This is a type of science that started to emerge in the late 80s, early 90s, understanding that low-level impacts of these chemicals had on human health. And, you know, the interesting thing is, right now, the FDA is doing a review, and the EPA, they're doing reviews of glyphosate. And they're not even taking into consideration any of the new science that shows possible harm at these low levels, which is why we put together this document the way we did. We wanted to look at the historical data that was out there, and we wanted to compare it to what the new and emerging science was showing. And, you know,
So what do you say to all of the people who say your science is not science, that only the other side's science is science?
Well, you know, listen, I find that an interesting. I grew up in a conservative Republican evangelical home, and I think if you're going to say that, then you have to say that modern science isn't science. It's actually a new religion. This is a way of viewing the world, and I look at corporate science or biotech science. It's actually a cult. These people do not ever admit harm from their products publicly. And I just say, Monsanto, you know, I studied history in college, so I always like to look at the history of the corporation that we're dealing with. And Monsanto is literally probably one of the worst corporations on the planet. They are responsible for creating Agent Orange, PCBs, and dioxin. And I just say, in each of these cases, long after the credible scientific peer-reviewed studies were showing that PCBs were causing harm, that dioxin was killing people and causing cancer, and that Agent Orange was killing our veterans, Monsanto still maintained in the court of law, in front of federal judges, that none of their products were harmful and none of their products caused any harm. And in the case of PCBs, Monsanto's own scientists knew that it was harming their workers decades before it ever became public. So that's why the comparison to the tobacco industry is valid. And here's the thing. You know, science is not a static thing. Science does not move forward or progress by consensus. Science moves forward by conflict.
Disruption, yeah.
The scientists have an idea. They have a theory about how things work. And then that becomes the basis of the scientific theory and understanding. But new evidence is always brought into the equation if you're doing proper science. So we no longer really have, you know, pure science in America. We have a very corrupted, I say Monsanto has weaponized science against the American public. And it's very harmful the way they've been allowed to get away with it.
Okay, we're going to have to take a quick break. Dave, we're going to have to take a quick break, but when we come back, we'll pick that up. And I'd like to talk about the things that do go wrong for the human body with respect to glyphosate. And we'd like to pick up Mary, who has a comment and a question about cotton and glyphosate. Folks, this is the Food Chain Radio Program. Michael Olson with Dave Murphy. Today we're talking about glyphosate and the role it plays in the food and how it got into the food. Right back. Well, folks, we are now using somewhere in the neighborhood of 300 million pounds of the herbicide glyphosate, or Roundup, on the United States every year. And as a consequence, it's in just about anything. It's in our food. It's in our rainwater. It's in our rivers, in streams, in our lakes. It's in our vaccines. Oh, my goodness, it's everywhere. So the question on the table today is it safe to eat? And that's what we're doing, as evidenced by the study published in Glyphosate, Unsafe at Any Speed, by the good folks at the Food Democracy Now! And Detox Project. Before we go on, we got to pick up a quick question from Mary. Mary, welcome to the Food Chain. Go right ahead with your question on cotton.
Yes. Good day, gentlemen. Weston A. Price just came out in February of this year with an article on an Argentinian study that found glyphosate in tampons and other feminine hygiene products, as well as Q-tips and so on and so forth. Now, of course, cotton was one of the first GMO crops and heavily uses the herbicide glyphosate or Roundup. Now, what, of course, happens is that as in feminine hygiene products, anything that's put close to those surfaces, that it's readily absorbed. So I want to know, first of all, if you know about this, and then also, is glyphosate accumulated in the system? In other words, every time you come into contact with it, do you just absorb it and keep it? Or can it be sloughed off? And I'll take my answer off the air.
Wow. Thank you for that. Those two questions, Dave?
Yeah, well, listen, that's a great question, Mary. Absolutely. I'm very familiar with the fact that you're right. There was an Argentinian study that tested feminine hygiene products, cotton products. You know, interesting thing, yeah, Monsanto did genetically engineer Roundup to survive, cotton to survive being sprayed with Roundup. And it just like with oats and wheat, it's absorbed into the plant. So if you have a tampon or a pad with high levels of glyphosate absorption in it, and you insert it, obviously it's going into a sensitive part of the body, the vaginal wall, the cervix. There's a lot of it can be absorbed that way, and it is a significant area of concern. We didn't test for it in this round, but we were very aware of that, and we're kind of alarmed by that figure. And as I say, the interesting thing, Monsanto always makes claims that their products are perfectly safe, that there's no level of harm. And, interestingly enough, one of their claims about Roundup was it was safer than table salt, that it was washed away easily. They even ran ads in France that cleaned the soil of toxins. But the thing is, the French, they were taken to court in New York State, they were taken to court in France, and they lost both cases where they claimed that their products were perfectly safe, which is, it's interesting that this...
But Mary asked if it bioaccumulates, which would be very interesting. Do you know if it bioaccumulates in the body, or does it wash out?
That's my next point. So they made these claims that it was safer than table salt, that it didn't harm the environment or animals' health, and they lost in a court of law. It was fraudulent advertising. Another main claim that they have is that glyphosate is rapidly excreted, that it's not absorbed or does not bioaccumulate. Now, in a lot of ways, the American public and even our regulators are taking Monsanto's word that it doesn't bioaccumulate, that it's not absorbed. And the interesting thing in this, in the whole process of reviewing all the science, I actually found two references in the scientific literature that are peer-reviewed, one from the EPA and one from an EU review of glyphosate, where it says that, yes, glyphosate is excreted in the urine and feces, but that 1% of that glyphosate is absorbed into bone. Now, I'll just say, when you compare the statement that Monsanto makes about it does not bioaccumulate and that it's rapidly excreted against two studies that show that it's absorbed into bone, I mean, that's for me a concerning finding, which is why we included it in this document, these high levels of exposure to glyphosate in our food. And the thing is, you know, one serving of Cheerios, according to new scientific evidence, would be there, it would be enough to be twice as harmful to that child's health. I'm just saying one single serving of Cheerios would be two times as high as what was the lowest level of detected possible harm in laboratory studies. So the thing is, does glyphosate bioaccumulate? We would actually have to test the bones of animals to find out if there's glyphosate residues. And we could also do it with humans. But at this point, we know that Monsanto's made claims that it's rapidly excreted, does not bioaccumulate. But that absolutely conflicts with these two studies that we've were peer-reviewed literature that states that it's absorbed into bone. And so one of the new studies that we looked at was one from 2014. Monica Kruger from Germany, she tested for glyphosate in dairy cows in Denmark and Germany. And Denmark allows, you know, GMOs and Roundup Ready feed. Germany does not. And in this study, they found that glyphosate was absorbed into certain organs in the animals. And more importantly, the study said that glyphosate was significantly higher in humans fed, you know, conventional food compared to humans that were fed organic food. And the most alarming thing about this was that it said when they're doing glyphosate residues on humans, they said that chronically ill humans had significantly higher levels of glyphosate residues than healthy humans. And I would just say that alone
is proof enough. Okay, we got to take a quick break, Dave. We're going to come back with our last break. We have Rory who has a question about comparing U.S. and Europe and glyphosate and holy smokes, glyphosate in the food. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to know about the glyphosate in your food and whether it is safe to eat, I suggest you search for the study entitled Glyphosate Unsafe at on Any Plate by the Democracy Now! Folks, Food Democracy Now! And the Detox Project. Read the report and then search out Monsanto's response and make up your own mind. Rory, Michael Olson, Food Chain Radio Program. What about the Roundup in USA versus Europe? You there, Rory? Well, I got him pushed up. Guess not. Okay. I'd like to go back with Dave Murphy and talk a little bit about that, which glyphosate is accused of. It's accused of being a probable cause of cancer in humans, correct?
I wouldn't say it's accused of. I would say there's significant scientific evidence that indicates that the glyphosate as a molecule and a chemical in our environment probably does cause cancer in lab animals and in humans. It really depends on the level of exposure and how you're exposed. But it is concerning, especially when you look back at the EPA's own history of declaring glyphosate a probable carcinogen in the 1980s. And the thing is, you know, the real problem is we don't have a lot of independent science. So they really suppress and attack all the scientists who do the research on this. And, you know, they basically, like Ignacio Chiapella there in Berkeley, when he showed that.
It seems like everybody who does independent studies on this stuff is chased down the alley. Endocrine disruption, it is accused of raising havoc with our hormones. And is that the reason why young girls are now going into puberty at the age of 11 or whatever?
Well, listen, that's a great question. And there are scientific studies that show that glyphosate does have a negative impact on the endocrine hormone system and may cause early development of puberty. Okay. It also may negatively impact male sperm, even when you're exposed to it as a child in the womb. I mean, glyphosate is a harmful molecule.
Glyphosate has a patent. Monsanto has a patent on glyphosate as an antimicrobial. It kills microorganisms like bacteria.
Yeah, and just really quickly, people have to understand that the chemical industry, the pesticide industry, spends billions of dollars, hundreds of billions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars a year to propagandize about how safe their products are. But you have to understand, if a chemical can kill a bug and it can kill a plant, it can kill a human. It can be harmful to humans.
And it's a nutrient. It's a nutrient chelator, which means it binds minerals into the soil and won't allow them up into the plant or from our bellies into our bodies, right? So it robs nutrients.
Yeah.
Okay, Rory. Welcome back, Rory. Are you there?
I'm here.
That's got you. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, quick question. I'm going to go to my second question. What's the status of Don Huber's work on the feeding studies that were being done in Japan to pin down what they were calling a microfungi, a new pathogen they found in Roundup Ready or soils that were exposed to a lot of Roundup?
Current Don Huber study, yeah.
I know Don is, Dr. Huber is still working on those studies. And hopefully that research will be out.
So. And then with that, we just ran out of time. Sorry, Rory. I really would have loved to heard your second question, but I guess we'll have to save it for another time. Dave Murphy, thank you so much for joining us from Food Democracy Now! And thanks for your work on the glyphosate, unsafe at any plate. Thank you all for tuning in. Remember Michael Olson's third law of the food chain, cheap food isn't.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Show with Michael Olson. If your friends missed the show today, tell them to log on to the radio page at www.metrofarm.com for a listen. Now go out and find some food with a farmer's face on it and live.